You are looking live at Chicken Dinner.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
I think I'll take two chickens.
You're on riverboat gambling trips.
You're gonna die for some chickens.
Hey, what's your chicken dinner?
Someone is.
It was feathers yesterday. There was no chicken.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's Chicken Dinner.
Hey, Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner right there, boys.
Let's get this thing going.
Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. How about that?
Away we go. Chicken Dinner, Wednesday, May 18th, 2022. Follow on Twitter at ChickenXDinner. DMs always open for you. And subscribe so you get this mother clucker once it goes live. We will talk to the guys from the 108, Beefloaf and Terese E, a long-form 40-minute interview about all things sports betting past. Well, we talk a little bit about the present and the future, but these are stories from yesteryear about trying to get down when you couldn't get down legally in the United States, working around betting limits, getting robbed by sports books, and also what is going on with the Chicago White Sox. This team can't hit. They are hurt, yet I can't get enough stock on them to win the AL Central. Lots to discuss here. These guys are hysterical. They sit in the section in right field behind the foul pole in section 108. They've been going to games for years and years and years. They ride hard with this team, but these guys also are mathematically sound. And when you couldn't bet at DraftKings, FanDuel, PointsBet, you had to go other places and deal with a lot of shady shit. These are their stories. I sprinkle in a little bit as well, but a fun conversation with the guys from the 108.
Joining us again on Chicken Dinner, it's only fitting that the week the NESN sports betting television shows launch and NESNBets.com becomes a real tangible thing, we have on two drunk uncles from White Sox Twitter, Beefloaf, Terese E., from the 108, welcome back.
What's up, Sammy?
Sammy, how you been, baby?
It's a big episode right here, boys.
Looking forward to it.
I'm excited, man.
Can't wait.
I was actually going back through old sportsbook review forum posts that I had from like 10, 12 years ago in preparation for this.
Did you prep?
No, because it's a nightmare that's readily available in my brain, us getting robbed by a bunch of places, particularly Bet Islands and Bet Revolution. I'm ready to talk about this.
We will not be breaking down the Monday baseball card. We will not be giving you NFL futures. This is a conversation between three people that have bet for a long, long time when you couldn't get down on your mobile device in your underwear in your living room. And before we get started talking about sports betting, I want you to know that if anybody tries to take that book bag today between now and my flight Sunday night, they're going to have to kill me because my entire life is in there. My laptop is in there. All my personal stuff, a wad of cash. Nobody is getting that from me unless I'm dead.
I'm glad we're not live streaming this. There'd be people lined up at the park.
That's right.
You guys have done that, though. You've probably gone to Vegas with everything in your bag.
I went.
Terese definitely did. Yeah.
I went to Vegas with all the money I had one time. And then we're on the flight out to Vegas, and I turn to Beef, and I just go, I can't lose everything I have. And he's like, why? I was like, this is rent. This is food.
This is case money right there. I got to win on this trip.
We're gonna see how it goes. And it was like down to the last minute that we were in Vegas, and I hit, a royal flush in three-card poker?
Yeah.
And I was like, rent money.
We made it.
We're good.
There's also, you know, when you do that, when you carry around everything, that's everything that you could pawn or trade on. This laptop, if I needed to, I could flip this for $2,000. It's brand new. Sorry. There's not many miles on it. All right, I'm going to stop talking about everything I have and why I carry it with me. I did, as we drove past, I got dropped off here in the heart of Bridgeport where we're taping this. We drove past the Western Union on 31st and Wallace. And I did the Sammy Sosa when we drove by, and it reminded me of a story. I'm 21 years old, in college, don't have any money, still living at home, and we hit in the Super Bowl, we hit the exact score. Patriots and Giants got very lucky. It was they let Ahmad Bradshaw fall into the end zone. And the Giants win the Super Bowl by, I think, exactly 4 points. And I had to go pick up like $4,800.
Yes. Yes. From your cousin in the Philippines.
Yeah. You never know if it's going to be there or
right.
not.
Yeah, that's true.
So you get there, and I actually had brought two of the biggest, blackest people I knew, and we went into the Western Union together to make sure that I could get it and get out and get home without being interrupted. And that process, I remember they brought the manager out from the back. And then they had to make a second phone call on the bat phone and then pay me out. And they're like, anything else? No, I'm good. I got out of there.
Let me get out of here.
I was so scared. I've never been more scared to collect my winnings. You guys have any experiences like that?
Oh, man. So, I mean, we would always – so, I mean, pushing the money out was always the more adventurous piece. But, yeah, getting the money in – Beef, you had the experience with Johnny Love back in the day.
Yeah. So we made the mistake of this was a big no-no amongst us, but Treasy violated it anyway. So we back in the day with the sportsbook.com, you could bet on all their skins, right? But the old deal was for positive EV teasers, you do not want to bet those at some of the sketchier sites. You want to bet them at the bookmakers and all the ones that you know are pretty safe, right? Sportsbook.com is a little sketchier. So I think it was allpro.com. Treasy ended up betting a bunch of teasers, shot the moon on these. We run up like 100K balance on the site. They shut us down completely. Like, can't log in, can't get to the URL, nothing. And it's not under our name. It's under another guy's name we're really good friends with. He's got to go through a series of phone calls before they clear it up. There's like $105,000. Like, well, what's the fastest way to get some money? Well, we can wire you some money. We'll wire you $8,000 at a time because they wanted it to be under the kind of
9999.
Yeah, exactly. We're structuring. Unfortunately, you know, this is past the statute of limitations, so it should be fine. So he eventually gets these in. So we would go weekly. He and I had this Bank of America account he just created, mind you. He never had, there's no payroll going in here or anything. This is a blank account he just created. It gets bombed $8,000, and he takes all $8,000 out the day it gets in there. And he gets in the car with me, and we just have a lot of cash. I'm like, man, if anyone catches up to this sequence that we're doing, like every Saturday morning, we're rolling in here, grabbing $8,000, we are going to get robbed, you know. But it was an adventure, and that's what, you know, when you have a good gnome, and I don't know if your audience is well aware of the old internet verse. You can't have enough accounts of the good spots, so you have to get your friend to sign up. But real ID, real person, and kind of line the thing up. So having a guy like that and cutting them in on the action was humongous.
Yeah, as soon as they would realize that you were an advantage player, your limits were shot, right? Think about the limits that you have at the sports books that are legal now.
Yeah.
Like, even half those limits, right? Like, it'd be like, hey, you want to bet a teaser? You get a $1 limit on this teaser. You know, so, like, you had to, like, keep cycling accounts, right? And what was crazy was sportsbook.com, that was such a poorly, I think it was Jazz Sports, right? It was so poorly run that you could actually just keep using their different sites with your same name and reopening accounts. But even that would run out. So then you needed to get the other guys to set them up.
Eventually they stopped that. But back in the golden era, like, we could get 105 Fridays. Like, 105 Fridays back in the day was a big deal. They would reduce juice everything. They would go down to -105 on absolutely everything at like 11 p.m. Central Time on Thursdays. So I would stay up and wait for them to move. Now, mind you, you're not at the end of the cycle, so these things can move. We're betting arbitrage positions. So we wait for something to slide into a good position, and we'd bink the entire board. You can only bet $500 on 105 Friday, but if you have every skin of theirs, you can get down a lot more that way.
There were some books that were trying the +100 NFL weekends. I think it was PointsBet.
PointsBet was one of them. Yeah.
It was the first football season in Illinois, and I had buddies. I mean, we both have buddies that bet for a living and do it well. They were parlaying the three sides at +100. And the payout was exponentially higher. Like, it's amazing. If you go to the parlay yes. calculator and you do three parlays at -110, yeah. it's going to pay out like 6-1, give or take.
Right.
But if you took three +100 dogs and parlayed them, it went to the moon. And if you have the right guy betting totals, a lot of the NFL bettors they're really good at it, they bet totals. Right. They're not betting sides.
Correct.
Sides are like Plinko half the time. But if you get the right total, and you get three totals that should be -110 and +100 and can roll them. I think NFL +100 weekends lasted a month because they got cleaned out by the sharp guys.
It was the first 6 weeks of the season. Because I remember week 7 being very upset that they were
gone. Waking up and it was no longer there.
I was like, man, it's going to take me longer to arb today because I don't just have a bunch of free bets to throw out here.
But Sam, you mentioned something that we used to always use in the old days of the online gambling is we would use parlays, but not like everyone talks about like correlated parlays or like where you can get advantage with a parlay. Not for us. We were using the parlays to get more action down. You might find one line that's particularly in your favor, and what you would do is just parlay it with kind of almost the entire board enough so it doesn't erode your edge,
they'd
but enough
see
where
the,
you can
they'd
keep
see
going.
The action and go, this guy's a degenerate.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. And so you'd have cover as well. But you would like, you know, if we found like Eastern Michigan first half over 24.5 and the real total was 28.5, we would, and the limits are $500. Well, we're going to bet our straight 500. Then we're going to parlay it with anything that doesn't look too terrible on the rest of the board. I mean, and next thing you know, you have a bunch of parlays tied to this one item.
You'd have like especially when it's like a first half or something like that, the limit's like $250, mm-hmm. right? So you want to get way more than that. So you're now parlaying it with like, oh, the Alabama money line is up for some reason. So I'll take that with minus 10 million or whatever that is. And just, so I could just get more money.
But then 250 becomes 280.
You're not
laying 250 to win 235 or whatever. And every dollar counts of this bracket. So I think this is very important to understand. And a lot of people that listen to the show, they love to parlay just eight things and put $5 to win 2,000 or whatever. But it's a lot of things that – I always say it this way. They are not betting. They are gambling. It's the Kevin Spacey line from 21. You weren't counting. You were gambling. And there's a difference between – getting an edge with the right numbers and just closing your eyes and playing pin the tail on the donkey with a parlay.
Right. Yes, correct.
And the thing is, nothing wrong with doing that.
Right?
I mean, like,
like me betting to split the pot at the Sox game later today, which I'm going to bet. I have no advantage there. I'm hoping to get lucky.
You're gambling.
I'm gambling. I mean, yeah, exactly.
I'm definitely some point of the week, I'm going to throw a same game parlay on like three guys on the Sox getting a stolen base in that game that pays out $1 billion on a $25 bet for fun, right? But like that's very different than what we were doing back then. Yeah, it's a very different game.
I'm curious to know the strategy and if you want to share a morsel of it, you don't have to give me the whole cookie with the teasers because you're able to maximize the teasers. And, you know, a lot of people would tell you go through the 3 and the 7. You know, whether you're going down through the 7 and down through the 3 or up through the 3, up through the 7, where did you find your biggest edge in teasers?
So there's a couple. So it depends on the payout the most. That's if you could find a plus 180 three-teamer, which I don't think anyone has anymore, but those were common back in, you know, the early 2010s, let's say.
Yep.
That's the most important. And then you can just do the straight up through the 3s and 7s, and you're all good. I think one of the places, though, that we found to be the biggest edge was when they were having preseason NFL teasers. Because, so you think about it this way, you're betting through the 3 and the 7 because those are the most common things. And when you go past the 7, you've got another break point of like your edge gets bigger. But in a low scoring game, that edge is even more gigantic
because
there's less points in that game. So a plus 7.5 is gigantic, or going from a plus 7 or a minus 7.5 down to like a minus 1.5 is a monster edge, right? And so when you do that in a game that's going to have 34 points, that is a monster advantage that you have. And so that's where I think we had times where we would just like sweep all of preseason because the teasers were so sweet. And then we started to look at it a little closer and find that like if there's a 4.5 that you could bet through to the 10.5, in preseason with these super low totals.
32.5.
Exactly.
They're actually valuable. And especially if you have a plus 180, right? Or if you had a plus 300 four-teamer, right? Those prices were just too good to be true. And then we found other stuff. Like I mean, the pleasers thing was also
pleasers thing.
Yeah, so like pleasers are the opposite. Pleasers are you give away 6 points, right? And they're rarely used for anything. Being a good advantage player, you got to check all the markets and just kind of see what's out there. We were running through one, I think it was sportsbetting.com back in the day, which is like connected to Bet Online at this point. And they're running their pleasers at plus 1,000 instead of plus 600. So like, look at everything that's out there. When you change the odds to plus 1,000, you've got a decent advantage on a lot of different bets. And so we were running a bunch of different stuff at the plus 1,000. I was surprised for one that they let us get away with it for 3 weeks. And I was surprised for two that they did pay us $45,000 that we won on those bets. Like, I was really shocked that we found an error and they let it go and then they also paid us. But always look for good pricing.
I thought for sure they were going to claw that all back.
Exactly.
This was an error 6 weeks ago. Sorry, we're gonna keep this.
Another teaser advantage used to exist, and you can look out for it. These things come back. But way back in the day, Heritage Sports, I don't know if heritagesports.com still exists or not. I have no idea.
Heritage is an offshore out. I don't know if that URL is active, but Heritage is still a very respected shop.
Still, yeah, yes. And they were back then, too. And they paid and everything. And they had this deal where if you mixed in two college teasers with the three pros, you know, their college teasers were plus 500 for the five-teamer. Now, a five-teamer is, what, usually 450?
Yeah.
So it's pumping up the odds quite a bit. And if but you could get away with mixing in three pro teasers and do this and run these. So we knew some guys that were running them, and they would just find and it's tough to find good college teasers because, as Treasy mentioned, the totals are just so high. So it erodes the advantage of the 3-7.
You need the Big Ten.
But you can find a Big Ten total or two that are like 38 or whatever. It's like, oh, this is like a proxy for an NFL teaser. They would find those. They would kind of run the whole board with those extra favorable odds. And it's like, yeah, you get a little enhancement. So you always be looking at your shops, what they offer, check the pricing and whatever they offer. And once in a while, you'll find a cookie.
You guys, whacking college sports, has some senator in Massachusetts listening to this podcast stabbing a voodoo doll right now. Can you believe that? They don't want to have college sports, not only Massachusetts college sports, but you can't bet Ohio State, Michigan, Miami, Clemson, Duke, Carolina basketball. No college at all.
It's unbelievable to me that, like, there are people who are in charge of making laws that are unaware of how black markets are formed. Like, we just went through this with all the marijuana stuff. You're like, guess who sells marijuana when you guys don't? Drug dealers. So what do you think's going to happen when you go, hey, you guys can bet now? But guess what? You can't bet on any college sports. Well, that bookie that's been making his living off of this for a long time is going to be he's going to be handing out flyers on the street going, hey, here's where you can bet college sports. Or the offshores that are probably going to rob you. Yeah, there's a cat going wild on the side. The
cat doesn't like the rule either.
Yeah, it's very upset.
It's feeling what I'm feeling inside. But there's the offshore books that are probably going to rob you are going to be lining up to take money to say, hey, bet on college sports over here. They're going to be buying ad space. This is funny. We do a podcast and everything now on the blog. And a book reached out to us like, hey, do you want to do some ads for us?
Yeah.
And I told Beef, I was like, you know, we know like 10 guys that got robbed by this book. We should give them their usernames and be like, pay out all these balances. And yeah, then we'll do an ad for you.
10 guys that got robbed? You buried the lead.
It was like Joe Pesci in Goodfellas. Yeah, for $7,000 I charged. Kid. That's how you felt about that. This is ridiculous. And, you know, the best way, like, usually it's a morality case, right? It's a, well, we don't want to compromise the athletes, put them in a weird position that they, you know, like, that's usually the phony baloney reason that they go behind this. But the easiest way to track this, if it did happen, would be if you had above board sports betting and you could see the irregularities in the betting and say, oh, there's some pattern here. Now we have some base case of what's going on. If you leave it on the black market, you're not going to find it.
Regulation is the best thing for the legality. And the bookmakers that I know in Vegas all say the same thing. Legal sports betting actually makes everything more above board because if there's a pattern with UMass football games, guess what? Gaming control gets a red flag. They're like, hey, we're taking $20,000 on every UMass first quarter. Something is going on. And right. Then the investigation goes from there. Yes. If the local bookie sees it, nothing's going to happen. And I don't even think he's going to realize it because he knows his players are probably going to lose. He's not really doing the checks and balances of all the shady shit. He's right. He's taking bets.
And he only has a sliver of the data.
Yes.
Right? I mean, like, yeah. I think in this day and age when you know, like, every site out there knows everything about you, right? Like if we're gonna have this conversation right now, and then like 2 minutes later, I'm gonna be checking my email, and there's gonna be like an ad for like, hey, you should gamble more, you know? And so, so like with that amount of data around, and with everything that everyone knows about you, when you have above the board gambling, all that data is there for the gaming commissions to say, there's something weird going on here. Why is everybody betting on second league soccer in Italy today? Like, that's, there's something wrong, right? And so, yeah, you need the regulation to be able to have that kind of insight into it to say there's something going on. But what's amazing to me is that in all of this is that Henry Hill continues to affect the whole world, really. I mean, like, you were just on a podcast talking about Goodfellas, and now we're on a podcast talking about how people don't want to legalize gambling because once upon a time, Henry Hill convinced some kids to shave points.
It is a lot of elder politicians in the state, too. Those are the most anti-college sports betting. And the college hockey coach, who is, I think, he just retired, Jerry York. I want to say he's 83 years old. I'm sorry, Jerry York. Nobody's betting college hockey.
Yeah, no one cares.
He's like, I don't want it to ruin the program. I'm like, that's not how it goes. And the truth of the matter is, I promise you, none of these politicians have reached out to Nevada Gaming, Nevada bookmakers
to figure out
why legalization for college is good.
There's one more layer to this that I think we should discuss because this can, you know, convince you in a mathematical sense. If you go to any of these sports books that exist now, that, you know, go to any of the legal states, and we're in one right now, you could see the limits that they have.
Yep.
Think about the money that would need to happen here to make someone throw a game or someone shave points. You have to, let's say you have to convince a kid to do this, right? Now you're going to convince, you got to convince one of the best players on the team because who else could affect a game that much,
right?
Because if you're a shitty point guard, yeah, you have some control over it, but your coach is going to pull you, right?
Right?
But if you're a good player, you're on your way to, you know, the NBA or the NFL
or
whatever.
You can get paid now in college.
Right, there's money to be made. So, like, how much do you have to pay someone to throw a game? Let's call it $100,000. If your limits are $250 a bet, how many parlays do you have to lay to get to that $100,000? Like,
the illegal market is worse for tainted college sports betting.
Yes,
for
way sure. worse.
Way worse. Way not worse. Even close.
Because on top of that,
not even close.
On top of that, the only real way that you could get this going is if you had some kid who got into huge gambling debt in college on a team, but that would require the limits of an offshore book. Like, so this does this, like, this scenario is almost impossible to happen.
Oh, look at this, a disclaimer. We do not condone paying off college athletes. This is all hypothetical at this point in time. I have to go here. The White Sox.
Oh boy.
Are 16-16 as we tape this. This will air on Tuesday, so we'll have a couple more days. Two games back of the Twins. I have a problem, and the problem is I own too much White Sox AL Central stock. I can't stop. And finally, we're at a point where it's -115, and I'm still looking at it. It's amazing how this works because fundamentally I'm telling myself I already laid 190 before the season.
Yep.
We gobbled up +130, +140, +120, +110, +100, -105. And I will drunkenly bet a game at -110, but I'm like, -115 is too expensive. It's not. Mathematically speaking, they couldn't have played worse. The Twins couldn't have played better. The White Sox aren't healthy. I think I'm at my limit, though. Like, I don't want to add any more. Am I stupid?
Sam, what you should have done is the night that Carlos Correa got signed by the Twins, you should have woke up in the middle of the night like I did to the alert on my phone, and then in a haze, went to pointsbet.com and bet +900 on the Twins at the time. So now I have a good hedge.
Sweet,
so you can
dude.
Keep you
Sweet.
Can keep adding.
Yeah. Awesome. Fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how much of a mush you are. So
I'm actually not a mush.
Okay, so find a mush that you know and say, you know, it's a good price.
Twins.
This Byron Buxton MVP.
Exactly.
You should bet
there
that.
You go. That's the way to do it.
You should
Send
bet
in
this.
The mush.
It should still be tasty. You're right. That's a good way to do it.
Dylan Bundy, Cy Young? Get in there.
Get
in there.
Twins pennant. Hey, man. Best guy I've ever talked to says Twins to win the World Series is the best bet. The team is frustrating, and I'm watching from afar. You guys go to almost every home game.
Yeah.
You follow every game in some way, shape, or form, and you write about it and blog about it, podcast about it from the 108. From the 108.com. My biggest fear is that a guy that I don't know can make coffee is managing the baseball team. That's my thing. Like, I watch my grandparents walk around the house at 77, 78, and I'm like, oh, this is bad. I'm trying to imagine my grandmother managing the White Sox. That's not a fair comparison, but in age, it is.
In age, it is, right. And potentially in mental acuity. I leaned over to Treasy the other day because we try to analyze Tony La Russa without being jaded to the fact that neither one of us wanted him to be the manager of this team when they originally brought him on before last season. And we try to do kind of as best we can about being fair to them. And after the game the other night, the Thursday night, the soul-crushing loss, you know, where they tie the game up and then the bullpen implodes, I come home, I watch the post-game presser, which I rarely do. And so the next night, I turned to Treasy at the game. I said, you know what the problem is I said, I'm not sure that Tony's necessarily cooked. And we had talked about it on a previous podcast. Sometimes it looks like fancy play syndrome in poker. Like, just do the most obvious thing, Tony. Don't quit screwing around with this stuff. But I told Treasy, I said, I just think he needs a speech coach or you know, someone to coach him up on how to talk to his audience in this day and age. And what did you tell me, Treasy?
So you said yeah, they need either to help him with his post-game press conferences or tell him to just keep his mouth shut. And I said, Beef, you know, you've managed people before. If you had a person like that on your team and you're like, hey, you know, I hired this guy, but I can't have him talk to anybody because he just ruins everything when he talks to people. I said, are you coaching that guy up or are you going, yeah, maybe we need to fire this guy?
Yeah. It's not looking good.
I see some of these lineups and I just get enraged. He finally stopped batting Luis Garcia third after the average dropped down to .058.
And what's hilarious is they put him in the ninth spot, and over the last however many games, he's hitting terrific.
Because
he's
an eight or nine hitter.
That's where he belongs.
Not a three hitter.
I mean, I think the other night, this is a joke. This is not, I don't really think this, but maybe it is true. We're watching the game, and you know, I think the big mistake that everybody knows about from the other night is, and especially Yankees fans were flabbergasted by what happened, was Joe Kelly's struggling, right-handed pitcher Joe Kelly, struggling. Anthony Rizzo's coming up. We've got Tanner Banks warming in the bullpen.
Lefty. He's a lefty, yep.
And you're like, okay, they're going to take the lefty-lefty matchup. This makes sense. It's going to be rough the next two at-bats if he doesn't get by Rizzo.
Right.
They keep Kelly in for the lefty, and then I think Stanton.
I think it's Stanton.
Stanton is up next. They bring Tanner Banks in to face him. Now Tanner Banks,
just put him out there to get slaughtered.
And I told Beef, I said, well, the rosters, you know, we're gonna get some guys back soon and stuff. I think Rick Hahn told Tony La Russa, I need you to whack out Tanner Banks. Find the spot. Make the fans hate him.
It was the Joe Pesci scene where he thinks he's getting made, but then he realizes he's not. That's when Tanner Banks is going in the game.
Yes.
But that's how, look, the poor bastard's out there, and it's like, you don't belong in this spot right
here. Yesterday, like, they moved the pitching lineups or pitching rotation around to make Dallas Keuchel pitch against the Yankees on a Saturday game that was sold out and that they were doing like a big giveaway for. So they knew like everyone on earth was going to be at this game. Yep. And I was like, and he ended up pitching fine.
He
but it was more to the thing like Rick Hahn going, whack this guy out next. I got Johnny Cueto coming up. We need to get rid of this
guy. Isn't even a better solution, really.
It's just a different solution.
Metrics. At the end of the day, though, I'm going to put you on the spot on May 15th.
Okay.
Are they losing this division?
I don't think so. I think that they will still win this division. I think it's going to be one of the, I guess, gross is a good word, one of the grosser division battles you're going to see where we're like, I think we're like talking like 88 wins the division. And like, you're just kind of like, this team wouldn't make the team that loses this is not even getting in the extended wild card, right? I mean, like that's what I think it's going to look like at the end of the season. I think they still win it though.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, for Sox fans though, we're looking at like this is World Series or bust. So winning in the division was kind of like it was a given, right? It was like, oh, we're definitely doing that. And now the fact that it's put in the balance that, oh, there's some doubt now. is why I kind of, as a fan base, we're kind of freaking out here. And it, we're making fun of Tony and giving him a hard time, and he certainly has his blame here. But you know what? A lot of the big shooters just aren't coming through either. Yasmani Grandal's been terrible. Jose Abreu lately has been terrible. Like, we said it before the season, Treasy. The White Sox, as much as young talent they got coming up, they're still not prepared for a real Jose Abreu regression. Like, right. If Jose Abreu falls off the table at 35, they don't have the firepower, in my opinion. They didn't supplement the roster enough to cover that up. And so that just cannot happen. And I love Andrew Vaughn. I think Andrew Vaughn's going to hit the hell out of the ball. But they still need Jose Abreu.
I'm coming at it from a strictly money-making angle. I am separating church and state, my fandom, and my wallet.
Yep.
I would bet them still at minus 110 to win the division today.
Yep.
I don't know that I would bet them to win the pennant or the World Series.
I'm with you there. I'm with you on all that.
It's really tough to do that, especially after this weekend, because we'll see how they do today. But those first two games against the Yankees, they got pantsed, right? I mean, like, you watched it and you're like, this team's not going to do well in the playoffs if this is the team we're trotting out there.
You did your homework for this episode. You talked about it when we started. You were digging through emails and messages and all that.
Yep.
Where do you want to start here? I'm just going to throw the baton at you. These are horror stories, H-O-R-R-O-R stories.
That's right.
About the betting space.
I mean, I think Bet Islands needs to go first.
Bet, right? Islands is the biggest horror story of all of them.
Horror.
It's made worse by I sent you the message I posted on Sports Betting Review, I think it was. Basically, there's a forum saying, what are the best books? What are the safest books?
I was going to say, we should whiteboard this, because sportsbookreview.com was a rating service.
Right.
It would give grades for the various sports books that you could bet offshore. But
they would also assist you.
Yes.
If you had a dispute with a sports book, they would come in as like a third party and help figure it out.
And they would help people get paid a lot of times in these situations.
And so they were a valued part of sports gambling back then. And this is kind of the beginnings of the online sports betting, right? Where everyone was kind of moving over to doing everything online. And so They had a thread, and think of just like Reddit, right? Like, they had a thread, and it's like, what are the safest sports books to bet at? Now, we had been at Bet Island since it opened. Like, we saw it come up. They had some juicy stuff, like 100%.
I was saying, can I cut you here for a second? Yeah. So some of what we would do. So we were arbitrage bettors, basically.
Explain that for people that don't know.
So for arbitrage betting, we're not handicapping anything. What we're doing is we're looking at the marketplace as a whole. And if everyone has +6.5, Bears +6.5, and Sportsbook X that we have access to, that we have money at, has Bears +7, that's how we bet. We would just bet off-market prices, basically, or try to find things like that, advantageous things, but without having intimate knowledge of any particular betting situation. So that's kind of like how the arbitrage market would work for us. We didn't need to know the team. Treasy would wake up at 4:30 in the morning and bet offshore and bet the soccer leagues in the Champions League or whatever in England. He doesn't know who these teams are. He's just finding prices that are off the market. So back then, with these smaller sports books, that was sometimes how you earn an edge. Now, you would take a shot. A lot of what we were doing was risk management based and less about like finding information or something. You might take a small shot at a site that looks sketchy, and you see if you can get paid out.
And so we did that with Bet Islands, and we were like, okay, this shop looks good. It's got some good prices. Like, they were doing a 105 Friday for a while. They were doing like a +100 thing for a while. That was like, just, you could shoot the moon on like the points bet thing.
And in basketball, they had a free half point hour.
Yes.
Each night.
Yeah, that was always good. And so we started using the site, and I probably took 10 payouts from them, all of which came through really quick. So I posted, hey, I've been using this site. It's really good. Go ahead. You can read the post.
I'm a big fan of Bet Islands. I had one payout that took longer than 10 days. They contacted me 3 times during that time with info on the payment and then gave me a free play for the delay. I have had much lower payouts from other books with no update whatsoever. I also like Bookmaker, but I have no good info or bad info on their payouts. The main point, I'm a big fan of Bet Islands.
Yes. So being a big fan of Bet Islands was a huge mistake. So we talked about gnomes earlier. So we got gnomes set up across Bet Islands. We probably had, 5 or 6 accounts. But one day, I think, and it was later that year. So it wasn't even like a long time. Like it wasn't like years later back to haunt me. This was like months later, comes back to haunt me because the site just goes down. And like you start to see posts of like, hey, I saw Bet Islands is down. And people are like, yeah, it must be like an internet issue or something. And then it's down for days. And then it's like, well, how are we going to get paid out? And we got banged pretty bad. I want to say we lost like 60K
there. That's correct, yeah.
That was in the accounts.
These are
player balances. So our net on cash life to date was positive because we had been getting payouts and we'd be regularly drawing. We were the type of, Treasy and I were the type that liked to reallocate our funds. Good bonus here, whatever. So we didn't end up building up huge balances at lots of places. We did get banged.
And it was a risk measurement, right? Like we're trying to say like, okay, don't keep too much money in one spot. And we had like just loaded a couple accounts there and stuff.
I sent a wire for $7,500. I remember like a week before, 2 weeks before maybe.
And like they were just collecting that money. Like they just, because when you see 100% bonus come out of nowhere, don't take it. Like that's the rule.
That's like the Dan Levitard boost.
Yeah, it's like stay away.
It's 100% bonus. As much as you want to deposit, it's like I'm never going to see this money again.
It's a minus 100% bonus.
The issue is you don't know what to do. You can't call the cops.
You can't
get onto the website. There's no phone number.
No,
this sports book is operated in the islands, in the Caribbean somewhere, or in Central America.
It was right. This was a Caribbean
operation. What are you going to tell Quernsey? I need to go to Jamaica real quick. I'll be back hopefully in 2 weeks. What are you going
to
do?
And good luck. Good luck even finding anyone or any way. Like, so that was our only way, is to put it up on these forums and kind of let people know. And when that all happened, yeah, we got banged bad, but there were people. There was a list that someone got a hold of. Of player balances, and there was in the millions of player balances that were just gone in the middle of the night. And the rumor we had heard was that the person that was funding was actually someone that was in New York City, whoever the shady figure was, and they got into some legal trouble and needed to shift their funds over to doing this. So they kind of left the book hanging. And you know, this is a story that's happened before. I mean, World Sports Exchange, when we were first getting into sports betting, we knew guys that had balances there that were like, yeah, my balance isn't worth anything, you know. So that was basically it. Like, very scary.
And so as bad as Bet Islands was, at least that was just like everyone got banged at the same time, and we were all kind of like, at least there was like everybody got shipped out and like they cut us all off and they just disappeared. But I think the Bet Rev one was more infuriating. And Beef, I'll let you talk about that because that was more you.
Yeah, absolutely. No, the Bet Rev one was more infuriating. The reason it was is because this was one of these books where we were taking a shot at playing there. Like I said before, like you might put $1,000 in and like see what happens. When we started playing at Bet Rev, like they would, in WNBA games, they'd have the wrong team favorite. And in a WNBA game, the money lines could be wild. So the team that should be plus 800 is minus 1,500 and vice versa. Those are profitable situations. Yeah, you know?
When you flip the odds on teams, they would have
kind of way off mark. But you couldn't bet that much, okay? You know, and it was slow to get payouts from them even initially. So we were getting payouts steady, like you were talking about in the onset, the Western Union, where you get the $900 at a time or whatever, and I'd go and collect the money and all that. And at some point, they kind of started slow paying me. So I had reached out to Sportsbook Review and said, hey, you know, this is starting to happen. I'm starting to get slow paid. I'm just letting you guys know. They're like, no one else is complaining about this. I was wondering if I was one of the few people actually playing at this site. So when we got further along the line and they started to, you know, play hardball with me, they accused us of syndicate play. What the fuck syndicate is betting $250 a game? How the hell is it syndicate play? And they put this big thread on another sports forum that I wasn't actively on, the people informed me of. And when they first put it up there, the BetRev people, they used my actual name and not username. And so the people who ran this forum attacked them and everything. But the bottom line was they were realizing they were kind of out of money. They didn't want to pay it, and I had run up, I don't know what I ran up there, maybe 20 grand, which was way too much for a crappy little site like that. But, so they accused me and another guy that we know of syndicate play. Now, believe you me, there are people out in this world right now who share information about a good bet, okay? That happens all the time. everywhere. But they're generally not playing out of the same bankroll. They're betting their own money. That, in my opinion, is not syndicate play. And it's definitely not syndicate play when it's $100 on the first half line of the, you know, the Cincinnati Bearcats, you know, college basketball game. It's not syndicate play in that. But it was just another example of, I saw this guy. And then when it got out in the forums, everyone's like, oh, yeah, you know, sportsbook would be like, oh, yeah, you were right here. I'm like, yeah, I told you a month ago that they were starting to rob people. Now, what's nice is that URL is currently available. And Treasy and I are thinking about buying it just for old time's sake.
We might redirect that to from the108.com. We're going to see. We're going to see if we do it.
How much does that cost?
I don't know. It wasn't that much. It was more than you think.
It was a couple hundred bucks, I think. Yeah, so it was it's borderline on if it's funny enough to do. Like,
it's an inside joke, but after I dump in my neon shirt payment, you'll be able to afford it. Can we get some more shirts on all the shirts are sold out.
You're talking to the wrong dudes. The guy outside is the guy you want to pester.
I appreciate you guys sitting down again. This went about 40 minutes. Two more quick things to end it. I think about you both every time Rafi Devers hits a homer.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Because we need him to get to 37, but the baseball scares me. The way the baseball is not
made
flying.
Of sawdust.
The wet rag baseball, yeah.
Only Yankee players can hit through that.
That's true. We've been watching it this weekend.
And we need the White Sox to win this division, not just for my heart and my head, but for my wallet, because I thought a team that opened minus 190 was as high as minus 270 to get them at pick 'em plus money. I thought it was a tremendous bet, but this is one of the situations where I may be going too much into the heart instead of the head. So I need it to happen.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, it's going to happen. We'll make it happen. We'll will it to happen.
We'll be pouring beer money in there all season to try and get that deadline trade, man.
And then on June 6th, when they're plus 125, I'm going to whack it again.
Bet again, yes. That's right. It's good dollar cost averaging. Bet it again.
That is Beefwolf Terese E. Follow the guys on Twitter at From the 108. Their personal handles at MrDelicious13, at Terese. Boys, always a pleasure.
Thanks, Sammy.
Cheers, Sammy.
That about does it for Chicken Dinner. Thanks again to Beefloaf and Terese E. From the 108 at From the 108. Record check 249, 261, and 8. We are up a little bit, plus 1.5. I have the spreadsheet in front of me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 straight losses. And I would say two of those were bad bets. Part of the game, not too pleased with it. From plus 10.3 to plus 1.5. Let's just hope it all comes out in the wash. Got to get cold before you get hot, I guess. We shall see. We return with a regular episode later this week with Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. Schedule is out in the NFL. Win totals are on the move. Division stuff. And also, Eric has been modeling the WNBA, and he's ready to talk some buckets. Cash up tickets. Make some money. We'll talk to you soon right here on Chicken Dinner.
My brother told me so. You'll be the greatest man alive when I'm